Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 51.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson.
The big unit.
The big unit.
Yes. He of the 100 mile per hour plus fastball.
He was a monster, dude.
Unhittable.
Yeah.
He pitched a lot of no-nos.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that All-Star game where he pitched behind John Kruk?
Oh, yeah.
And he got really freaked out and wouldn't stand in the box?
Yeah.
So good.
He became a switch hitter, flipped his helmet around. That was awesome.
Yeah, the big unit.
Yeah, this is for Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Episode 51.
51.
Cool, man.
It's kind of anticlimactic acting after the number 50, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Not that we did anything for the 50th.
I know. Nothing special. No. We didn't talk 50 Shades of Grey or 51st Dates or anything like that.
No.
No bad movie talk.
Nope.
So what have you been up to since the last episode?
Just chugging along. Summer is coming up and I seem to be really busy.
Oh, yeah?
Always something to do.
That's good.
Manchester United won the FA Cup.
That's right.
And hey, we got a new coach too. Jose Mourinho. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a big pickup.
It is. Remember when I texted you, you guys won the FA Cup? What was that? I was like, congrats, you beat Crystal Palace or whoever they beat.
Whatever, dude. We got a cup. That's all that matters.
I know. I was just being a bitter little little man.
Yeah. Well, it's just as bad as when you guys lost the Europa League,
where
I texted you, you'll never win again.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's pretty mean. That was really mean.
Yeah.
But club footy season's over. Got Euros. Is it Euros this summer?
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
The best footy tournament in the world.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Champions League final yesterday?
No. I was out and about, so.
Went to penalties.
Oh, I saw that.
And, Real Madrid won on penalties 5-3. Gareth Bale took a penalty on one leg.
Really?
He hobbled up, took like two steps and then kicked it because he couldn't walk.
Wow.
It was unreal.
That's crazy.
And then Cristiano Ronaldo scored the winner and took his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
What a shock.
Yeah, there you go. It's almost as if he planned it, right?
Yeah. Good game, though. Movie news. The Cannes Film Festival ended last weekend.
Oh, that's right.
With a Irish film by Ken Loach winning the Palme d'Or.
Cool.
I, Daniel Blake. His second Palme d'Or.
Oh, cool.
After The Wind Shakes the Barley, which is a fucking spectacular film.
Nice.
So I can't wait to see this film. The Grand Prix Award went to Xavier Dolan.
The man.
The man for It's Only the End of the World. And every critic in the world said it was like one of the worst films that ever played at Cannes.
Really?
And supposedly in the press office during the announcement, people booed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Dolan made Mommy.
He did.
And he made Tom at the Farm.
Yeah.
Two really good films in a row. So I really want to see this one. And I'm willing to bet I'll be seeing it in September at the VIFF.
Oh, totally.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I've been up to just the same old pretty much. I went back and looked at, because I booked my flight for Fantastic Fest. I looked at my numbers for previous years. 2013, I saw 25 films. 2014, I think it was 27 films. And last year, 2015, I saw 31 films. So I've been slowly going up a little bit in films watched at each fest. So I may try to, I don't know if I'll be able to hang with Will Lindis from Movie Bears podcast, because he sees a movie in every slot.
Yeah,
that's hardcore.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was Max.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll do that, but I'm gonna beat 31. So
we'll see how you are on like day six on that midnight slot.
Oh, totally. That's where it's go time. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Order a beer.
Yeah.
Sit down.
That's right.
Yeah. Get your Clockwork Orange eye things.
And oh, totally.
Just watch the film.
Yeah. That's right. And otherwise, that video game Overwatch that just came out. It's on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Been playing the hell out of that last 2 days.
Nice.
It's awesome.
I played the beta.
Okay.
On my buddy's PS4.
Oh, nice.
It's fucking sweet, dude.
Yeah.
So many character classes.
Yeah.
And they're all different.
Yeah.
Like, I probably tried 15 of them, and they're all different.
Yeah. And they have really good, they're really well designed. So the game is very balanced, and you can switch classes according to what's going on. And not only is it a well-balanced game, but it's fun to play. So it's not like when I'm playing Call of Duty and getting pissed off because some, 16-year-old kid keeps shooting me in the face.
Or you get spawn killed.
This one's it's a lot of fun.
I don't like playing online.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not playing with friends, I don't want to have some little kid telling me I'm a fucker. Or I don't dig that. It's not my idea of fun.
Yeah, I hear you.
The Stanley Cup Final, San Jose Sharks, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
Listener Don Julio, congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, congrats,
your team is
man.
Fucking great, dude. I think they're going to win the cup.
That'd be all right to see.
Yeah, Joe Thornton. I when my team's playing against him, I hate him.
Yeah.
But I respect that guy.
Yeah.
And he's got a fierce beard.
Oh, totally.
Fierce.
His beard game's on point, dude.
And my last thing, fuck you, Game of Thrones, for making me cry last week.
Oh, dude.
I haven't seen tonight's episode, but last week's, Jesus.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's total gut punch, man. Yeah, just...
No spoilers, nasty. Of course.
Yeah, we won't talk spoilers. If you're up to date, you know which episode we're talking about. Oh, man. I knew it was coming because, of course, assholes will post character name, et cetera, reaction. And I read that. And I had a whole bunch of filters on. I filter a lot of Game of Thrones tags. But it's reaching the point where I just have to stay off, I guess.
Yeah,
it's, people are just
Sunday night, man. Can't go on Twitter.
It's brutal.
Unless you're doing your Oscar tweets.
There you go. All right. That's right, man. Cool. So do you have anything else?
That's it for me, man.
Wicked. I guess we can get into the show. So we can start off with the rant. And this is where we rant about anything movie related. How about you go first this time?
So last episode, I bitched about Captain America opening early in Europe. Well, it continued. X-Men Apocalypse, 1 week before North America. Also ripped on the internet, saw spoilers.
Oh yeah, people post screen caps and stuff. Yeah,
I'm like, okay, that's really cool. I didn't know that character was in the film. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, jerks.
And then it got better, or worse, depending on who you are, because some people are stupid. Warcraft opens 2 weeks early in Europe.
That's right.
2 weeks.
That's crazy.
How is that allowed?
Yeah. Why is it allowed?
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, it opens 2 weeks later. I'm going to have something spoiled.
Oh, yeah.
There's already a copy on the internet.
Oh, no.
I looked before the show.
Yeah.
It's there.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Like, it's obviously never going to happen with a movie like Star Wars or something like that. But still, X-Men, it's a big movie. Warcraft, I could care less about.
Right.
It looks really dumb.
It does.
It looks terrible. But still, 2 weeks is a long time. This isn't some foreign film. It's a big tentpole.
Oh, totally.
So maybe fix that, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that.
Rant out.
My rant is about websites that cover any time a stupid celebrity opens his or her mouth and says, I want to be the next James Bond. I want to be the next Doctor Who. You know, screw you. I'm, of course, reacting to, you know, people who want to be the next, James Bond, Doctor Who, next director of James Bond.
Young Han Solo.
Oh, yeah, young Han Solo. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
It's like these fans who write fan fiction, you know. That's all it is to me. It's the same thing as fan fiction. Oh, how cool would it be if Agent Scully played James Bond? Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not going to happen.
Edward jumps into bed and says, please come over here, Bella.
Yeah.
I have a magical trick for you. It involves sparkling things.
Yeah.
That's my fan fiction.
There you go. All right, man. That's hot, dude.
Hot.
Oh, man. Gotta loosen my collar over here.
Nice. Sparkly.
But yeah, I get sick of it. You know, a while back, Ronda Rousey said she wants to be Captain Marvel, and it's like, you're a stupid UFC fighter and you can't even act in a 15-second commercial. Shut up. So I'm just getting tired of celebrities using these platforms to try get jobs, and fans eat it up and they think, what if? Oh, fan fiction. Ooh, Photoshop. F*** you. Rant out.
Yes. What he said.
Yeah. All right. I was all riled up over
that. You need a break?
I think so. Breathing through my mouth here. I'm a mouth breather. Yeah, let's move on with the show. Let's talk about our first movie, Neighbors 2.
You guys thinking about renting this place?
Maybe.
What do you guys want with such a big house?
We're starting our own sorority outside the system that can totally do whatever it wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like throw dope-ass parties and totally rage.
A sorority that can party?
Happen new.
What's wrong with fraternity parties?
Oh, and what is it?
I mean, we threw great parties here. Pimps and hoes, CEOs and corporate hoes. Boise boys and Idahos.
They're like super sexist. Every party is like themed ho.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Does yeah, it- I see your point.
All right, Neighbors 2, what's the premise of this film?
Directed by Nicholas Stoller, when the new next-door neighbors turn out to be a sorority even more debaucherous than the previously ones living there, Mac and Kelly team with their former enemy Teddy to bring the girls down. That's a spoiler.
Totally.
I'm sorry. I didn't even really read what I wrote there, so I feel kind
of
bad.
Oh, it's in the trailer. It's in one of the trailers.
Okay. That almost sounded like a spoiler to me.
It totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're working with the same framework, but hey, this one has a feminist angle to it, doesn't it? Or does it?
No, it really doesn't, because what turns it does a full 180 and they just become douchebags.
This is a girls can hang with the guys, and hey, Bill, did you know that sororities can't throw their own parties?
I had no idea.
But frats can.
Of course.
Did you know girls get raped at frat parties?
I saw that documentary.
Yeah, hey, why didn't they just...
It was a lot better than this.
It was. Why didn't they just make a documentary if they were trying to get some silly message across? And the thing is, I could get in trouble for saying that, but this is all men writing the script and directing the film, so it's all where it comes from, and they can't help themselves. They just go back to stupid male jokes and gross out humor the whole film.
Gross out humor. The last movie had some stuff in it, but they're trying to outdo it in this one, and they really outdo it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gross.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
It's not funny.
No. I'm like, okay, that's really repulsive. Why'd you do that? Like, in the first 5 minutes of the film, not really a spoiler, because it's in the first 5 minutes of the film, and let's be real, don't see this film. Somebody gets puked on, and a baby uses a dildo as a toy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I see where you're going. I hate you already.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And that's the biggest cliche when it comes to newlywed and newly born scenarios, parents trying to have sex and their kid walks in or something gross happens, there's some bodily function. Oh my God, so funny, right? No, it's not.
No.
We've seen it before.
I don't need that. I don't think I laughed once.
I laughed a few times.
No funny Rose Byrne from the first film?
No, she is basically a background character.
No, she was the best part of the first one, and I didn't like the first one.
Yeah, I loved her in that.
She was like a scene thief comedian.
Oh, totally.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen plays the same fucking character in every film, getting really tired of him.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And he has like a RoboCop weed joke thing that was just dumb.
Yeah, and Zac Efron takes his shirt off.
Yeah, hey, we've seen that before.
That is it for Zac Efron. He does some really deep thinking in the film, and it comes off as really lame. So I'll just keep on saying he just takes his shirt off.
Yeah. I'll give him this, though. He delivered this joke with hard-boiled eggs and noodles that had me laughing pretty hard.
Oh, and did I mention there's Minions in the film?
Oh, yeah, Minions. You got to sell the brand, right? This is a Sony.
Wow.
Yeah.
In an R-rated film where people give a dildo to a kid, they're plugging Minions?
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Also has one of the worst birth jokes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, and I'm just like, this isn't cool. Like, yeah. I don't care about this. You're trying to go next level, and it's not working.
Yeah.
I hated the first one, and I hated this more.
Oh, really?
I hated this film. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah, the further away I got from it, the less I enjoyed it. And I did laugh a few times, but man, there were some long stretches of not funny things happening. And once again, this is something I have a complaint about with Sing Street. Can you name any of the sorority people, sisters, in the movie? Not just their real names, but their character names. You can't name a single
really
one
can.
Of them.
And the only reason I knew the Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne character's names because I wrote it down off IMDb.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I know Seth's name is Mac. They say that a lot in the film. I remember that. But I don't know nobody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, every other girl except for like the Chloe Grace Moretz character are just non-existent character-wise.
Oh, totally.
They all have this blind love for, you know, feminism and doing things their own way, and then they become douchebag boys.
The thing is, through that all, they explain it all for the audience, too, which is something that you can do to piss me off. You stop and explain the joke, and you stop and say, oh, well, when boys do this, it's funny. No, it wasn't funny then either, you know? Like, it's just the same formula, but... And it's uninspired.
Remember when 22 Jump Street came out? And everybody's like, oh, that's so great. No, I'm like, it's the same fucking film as the last one.
Yeah.
Without the jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
And yeah, just not funny. Sadly, just painfully unfunny.
0 out of 5. Fuck you, Neighbors 2.
Oh, man.
I haven't given a 0 in a while.
Yeah.
I hated this film.
Yeah. For me, I'd give it about a 1.5, maybe. There was one bit they had with the... What are those guys called? The dorm room manager, supervisor, person in charge. I'm showing my age here, of course. But there's a guy who's a bit character. He was a bit character in Hello, My Name is Doris as well. Remember, he was that douchebag photographer.
Oh, yeah.
He has that like laid-back approach. Hey, I can be your buddy, and I can be authoritative as well. He had a bit that made me laugh. And Zac Efron had that one joke, and that's all I can really remember from this film. It's totally forgettable.
Dude, that's not much.
No.
No.
No. And yeah, you know, I was going to say, I forgot which Seth Rogen film it was that I kind of defended him, and you were like, I'm kind of over him at this point, playing the pothead stoner loser guy. And I'm reaching that point as well, where I'm just like, ah, dude, just... Move on, like take your next step in your career.
A little more Steve Jobs, a little less Neighbors.
Yeah, a lot less of this garbage. Yeah, he's capable of more.
I think the only film I kind of liked him in was The Interview, and I liked James Franco in that film more than I liked Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Franco was good.
Yeah, that was just a decent film. It wasn't because of Seth Rogen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we have much else.
And the film that you defended, I just remembered, I liked Michael Shannon in that film. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was more or less just the film itself than it was Seth Rogen.
I think I liked Anthony Mackie more in that film.
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on because I think pretty soon we'll start throwing stuff. All right, let's move on to The Nice Guys.
First of all, I want to say thank you. We've been watching interviews, and it sounds like you might have saved my daughter's
life. That was mostly Holly. It's Jeanette.
I need your help. I want to know if I can trust you.
I'm kind of getting the idea that...
Well, my situation is very delicate.
That's where I know you from, right? The TV. You're prosecuting that car company.
For the catalytic converters. That's half my day. The other half I spend on pornography.
What kind? Like which films? What's your favorite?
No. Anti-porn.
Right. Should I be writing this down?
Yeah, write it down.
The Vegas mob is trying to spread its porn operation to Hollywood Boulevard. And I'm doing everything I can to stop it.
Thank you. Porn is...
All right, The Nice Guys. This is written and directed by Shane Black.
The great Shane Black.
That's right.
Yes.
What does IMDb have to say about The Nice Guys?
A mismatched pair of private eyes investigate the apparent suicide of a fading porn star in 1970s L.A. No, that's all right. It's missing some stuff, but that's...
And both of them are not private detectives.
No.
And at no point did anybody think that she killed herself.
No. Okay. IMDb fucked up.
They totally screwed that up.
They always do. Yeah. I was trying to be nice.
That's right. Bill is one of the nice guys.
Yeah. So Shane Black, he of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3, which couldn't be totally different.
Oh, totally.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Weirdly, I saw it at a film festival.
Okay. Yeah.
Love that film.
It's great.
Iron Man 3 sucks.
It does suck.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Robert Downey aside, Shane Black should be ashamed of that film.
Totally.
But he wrote Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big up.
That's like you get a lifetime pass, dude.
You do.
Yeah.
Like that's some big stuff right there.
And don't forget The Last Boy Scout. I love that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I'm that guy.
It's got Damon Wayans in it.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Bruce Willis.
Yeah. So, yeah, Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling, Matt Bomer, and... A little girl named Angori Rice, who I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, same here.
But she is the freaking glue in this film.
She is. She really is. She's
amazing.
She's like a miniature Reese Witherspoon in this film. But yeah.
It's a really fun, watchable movie that doesn't hold anything back.
Totally.
And I love that.
Yeah.
It's an adult film, but it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed this one. It's one of the great little funny comedies of the year.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
With... an absolutely amazing performance from Ryan Gosling. like better than anything he's maybe ever done before.
Oh yeah.
Like it's that good.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like his physical comedy in this is really what sells him. And I was telling you earlier, I was like, it's almost like he studied silent film and applied some of those same techniques to his physical comedy. Because everything he does, just he sells it. And I swear, you could watch this movie on mute and it would still be hilarious.
And, you know, Russell Crowe, also pretty good as, like, the heavy. He's there to kick some ass, and he's also pretty funny, too.
He does have his, like, kind of deadpan delivery. And I thought that he really grounded the film. When Gosling is just going crazy, Crowe is just kind of like... He's Russell Crowe, but he delivered like this really nice, quiet performance, which I loved.
Sometimes it's almost like Ryan Gosling is in another film.
Oh, totally.
But holy crap, does it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really enjoy the solving of the crime aspect of this film.
Oh, totally.
They actually do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's you don't see that a lot in Hollywood films.
No.
Like they actually go and solve the case.
Yeah, it gives a lot of life to the film. It keeps the film moving and takes them to some really funny places, like an abandoned house, which you would not think as a funny setup. But holy shit, do they ever get a lot of mileage out of that scene with some couple of random little kids with hilarious performances.
Matt Ballmer shows up as like an assassin. You might know him from Magic Mike.
That's right.
Yeah. He's a pretty good straight character in this film.
Yeah.
I think he's really good too. He's underrated, I think. He was good in Magic Mike too. Yeah. Nobody really said anything about him.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, it's all about the Crow and Gosling in this film.
Yeah.
And Shane Black's amazing script.
Yeah. Yeah, Shane Black really knows his comedic timing, the beats, the style in this film is awesome. Like, I wanted to bring this up because we talked about Sing Street last episode and
the beat on Sing Street episode.
Yeah, we got nasty on that
one. Dude, I got a lot of text messages and DMs and all that tweet stuff.
Yeah, man.
People were pissed that we like shit on Sing Street.
We're those guys, but
we are the 3%.
We are the 3%.
Yeah.
We'll make t-shirts. But the nice guys. The music in this movie was awesome, but it only supplemented the film. It did not replace emotional beats. It was just, you know, a cool Earth, Wind, and Fire song and stuff like that. And it helped me get into that era. And there's tiny little things in this movie. Like at the start of the movie, you see the comedy store and Tim Allen's name is in the second from the bottom. And at the end of the movie, you see the comedy store again, and some time has gone past, and he's now headlining at the comedy store. And I was just like, little stuff like that is so cool.
You were talking about the way it was shot. Great night photography.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, sort of like Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Like really good, gritty photography. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it serves the movie well. That's the one thing people aren't talking about when they talk about this movie.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, the camera's always moving. There's always something interesting. And when you do things like that, it makes for such a fun movie to watch. And it's just completely engaging. And I love that stuff.
You've seen it twice already, eh?
I did. Nice. Yeah, I was like, I need to show Sarah this one. I need to know if she laughs when I laugh. And we had a blast. It was even better the second time.
That could have been weird. You could have been like, just laughing like crazy.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. And that's one thing I wanted to bring up is... Shane Black has a style to him. He goes to some dark places with his comedy. Like multiple people in the background, innocent bystanders, get shot. And it's hilarious every single time. And I think only Shane Black can get away with that.
Yep.
It was like, I was like dying of laughter. And I'm pretty sure people around me thought I was weird or something. But I had a good time.
I always hate that, man. When you're the only person laughing.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Really big thumbs up for this one.
Oh, yeah.
4.5 out of 5 from Bill.
Yeah. I would probably give it the same.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Possibly higher. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Save it for the mid list.
I love this film.
We're almost getting into spoiler territory for the mid year list.
That's right. Cool. So yeah, Nice Guys, really good time of the movies. If you enjoy laughter, go check it out.
If you enjoyed the trailer, you're gonna enjoy the film.
Oh yeah,
because I love the trailer.
Yeah, it's a great trailer.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a really enthusiastic thumbs up from Bo.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally. Go see it. Go support it. Awesome. So let's move on. Let's talk about X-Men Apocalypse.
Ever since the world found out about mutants in 73, there have been cults who see them as some kind of second coming or sign of God. I was tracking one of them. They call themselves a Shir En Sebanur, named after an ancient being they believe to be the world's first.
World's first what?
The world's first mutant. These describe a specific set of powers greater than any man could possess.
An all-powerful mutant.
Exactly. And wherever this being was, he always had four principal followers, disciples, protectors he would imbue with powers.
Like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You got that one from the Bible.
Or the Bible got it from him.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about X-Men Apocalypse?
Directed by Bryan Singer, which is this his fourth X-Men movie?
I think so,
yeah.
I think he did one and two and like...
First Class and Days of Future Past.
I think he did Days of Future Past.
No, Matthew Vaughn did First Class. Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah, this is his fourth. With the emergence of the world's first mutant, Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Was that menacing enough? the X-Men must unite to defeat his extinction-level plan.
Dun, dun,
wow.
Dun.
IMDb getting really like deep there.
Yeah. So what did you think of the movie, man?
I saw this earlier, and Adrian has no idea what I thought
about
this.
I've got no clue.
So, let me first say this. I love X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah.
I love X-Men.
They're fun.
They're my favorite comics. I love the universe. I love everything. And guess what? I like this one, too.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really get why people are hating on it.
I don't get it either.
I think it's a really damn good X-Men film. It's not a great X-Men film, but it's a damn good one.
Yeah.
It's not First Class or Days of Future Past or X2.
Right.
Forget X1. It sucks. X3 right. Sucks, too.
Yeah.
But no, this one's pretty good.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think that what really makes it for me is the performances behind Fassbender and McAvoy. They're just so invested in these characters, and they sell everything so well, and they just elevate the material with their performances and chemistry. There's a Fassbender emotional bit that really got me. I was just like, oh man, it was like a lump in my throat kind of thing.
Yeah, that Fassbender guy is a pretty good actor.
He's good.
Yeah, and James McAvoy is really good.
Yeah.
My thing about this film, it's like they're trying to fix all the problems they made with X-Men 1.
Yeah, yeah.
X-Men 1 is a problematic film.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not good. They ruined some characters. Like, Jean Grey never recovered from X-Men 1.
That's right.
And she's awesome in this film.
Yeah.
Sansa Stark plays her.
Yeah, that's right. Sansa.
Sophie Turner. But yeah, right. Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. And she's great. The Jean Grey character was way better than I thought she would be. And I dig Jean Grey. The Summers boys show up.
Oh, yeah.
The brothers.
Yeah.
Ty Sheridan's a really good actor. He's been better in other things.
Yeah, he was just kind of there.
Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't know.
Yeah. And his makeup reminded me of the makeup from Tusk. That's not a compliment, by the way.
Jennifer Lawrence became a really big star, so her character got way more screen time than she probably would have if she wasn't a star.
Yeah.
A bit character in the comic books became a huge character in the movie. She's good. She's always good.
Yeah.
Character's fine. Nicholas Holt, I like him in this movie.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he brings a lot more than he usually does. And he's a good actor. Beast is cool. I like Beast.
Oh, totally.
Rose Byrne.
That's right. It's the Rose Byrne double feature.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. She's
just kind of there.
Underwritten.
Yeah.
Kind of doing nothing. Cody Smith McPhee shows up.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, all right. Cool. I didn't even recognize you. You've grown up. Good on you, sir.
I thought he was a little awkward, though, as a Nightcrawler.
He's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's supposed to be awkward.
Okay.
The great Evan Peters.
He is awesome.
Once again, shows up and steals the X-Men movie.
He does.
As Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Do you remember Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch? And that other movie we're not supposed to talk about they were in?
Yeah, it was that Age of Ultron.
Yeah, so they fucked Quicksilver up really bad in that film. And wow, do they know how to use him in these films.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I love Evan Peters in
these
films.
He's great, yeah.
But it's really the McAvoy Fassbender show.
Totally
they're both
is.
Classy.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah. I think that when you get into trouble with these films, it's when you think about the past ones. But I just don't think about them. I just like, okay, they're in this new timeline now, this new universe and stuff. There is one bit with one character from the past that I thought was a little long and distracting. But I didn't have any huge complaints about this film. It was just fun to watch. And I was like, man, this is a dark movie. Like,
yeah.
People get straight up murdered in this movie. There's a crazy scene in Auschwitz, which is just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There's commentary in Cold War, nuclear weapons. But yeah, there's just extremely violent imagery in this film. It's crazy.
I would like to think of these movies as prequels just to get rid of X-Men 1.
Yeah.
And I'm completely fine with that.
Oh, totally.
If the next film more or less redoes X-Men 1, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So am I.
Yeah. And somehow keep X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Then get rid of the Brett Ratner X-Men 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And then we're good.
Yeah.
I love X-Men.
Yeah, man.
I always do. And I really love the fact that these new prequel movies really show the power of Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is such a badass character. Yeah. There's something in this film that they do with Magneto that I was just like, wow, okay, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Something to do with what metal being somewhere I totally didn't think it was going to be.
Yeah.
And he does something, and I'm just like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Magneto is the most powerful mutant in the world.
Yeah. That's right. And he is.
Totally. Like, they explain it in the film. It's like everything after the Bronze Age is going to get screwed up by Magneto.
Oh, totally.
Because he's the man.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, as I said, the big thing in this film to me is Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah.
Jean Grey is awesome in this film.
Yeah.
And I love that character. Something that character does in later movies and is kind of shown in this film is my favorite X-Men stuff of all time.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Along with the Weapon X stuff. But that's another movie.
Yeah.
But I love this film. Other than some really cheesy stuff at the end, which kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
A couple of weird little things. I'm like, that's really stupid.
Yeah.
Especially involving metal forming a letter. I'm being vague.
Oh, yeah.
That pissed me off.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, dude, love this film.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Like, and yeah, the violence stuff, I was just like, yeah, give me this stuff. Yeah, bad guys are getting killed. Oh, Apocalypse has turned that guy into a pretzel.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
he literally turned a dude into a pretzel.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Or he's just like, I'm going to sink you into the ground.
Yeah.
And you're never getting out.
That was terrifying.
I know. I'm just like, oh, Apocalypse is a badass.
He totally is. Well, like, this is some, like, horror kind of stuff.
Yeah. Man. It's a fun film. I think you're not going to do much better than this, other than maybe Captain America tentpole-wise this year so far. So,
oh, totally.
It's a fun film.
Yeah. I really enjoyed myself. And Quicksilver, big highlight of the film. And, you had some great performances from McAvoy and Fassbender. And, Oscar Isaac, he's all right, but he's not the central plot, even though his character's name is in the title.
Serviceable.
He's serviceable.
Yeah.
He feels like he has purpose, though, which is something you can't always say in the MCU movies.
This is true. This is a softball down the middle for me, man. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying. Go and see it for yourself.
Yeah.
You could probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
But lots of nerds are really shitting on it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of pissing me off, but whatever. I just went and saw it, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think that stems from a lot of people who were shitting on it even before any of us saw the film, right?
Yeah.
And they're just too proud to say they liked it, or it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, or whatever. It's the same kind of thing with the Russo brothers. Everybody called for Winter Soldier to be a terrible movie because the Russo brothers had it. No, they fucking showed you they can make a good movie. And despite the, you know, early comments on the makeup for Apocalypse and how it looked and stuff, it still turned out to be a great movie.
Fine. It's all about, oh my God, Magneto took a left in the comic book, not a right.
That's right.
I don't have time for that. I'm watching it as a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Same goes with all you book people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an adaptation.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah.
That book might have been 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Get over
it. I rated the last two X-Men movies 5 out of 5.
Okay, cool.
This one is not getting a 5.
Yeah.
It's getting 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Because I like this one too.
Right.
It's just not as good as those ones.
Yeah.
Those last two X-Men films are quite possibly what, like, top 5 action movies in the last 10 years for me.
Oh, cool.
I freaking love X-Men.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I usually shit on these movies.
Totally.
So, yeah. High praise from me.
Right on. And yeah, I quite enjoyed it as well and can recommend it with confidence. So yeah, check it out. Let's move on to our next part of the show, the movie club. This is where Bill picks a movie for us to watch. We watch it, come back here, talk about it, and that's movie club. We always encourage our listeners to join in. We've had people join in before. It's always fun. So if you ever want to join us, watch the current selection, send us your thoughts, and we'll read it on that episode. So this episode's movie club movie is Mustang. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this one? And just a quick heads up, we usually talk spoilers for movie club, but since this one is still fairly new, we won't really get into spoiler territory.
So yeah, this one's from 2015. So yeah, it's a pretty new movie. It just came out on Blu-ray. It's by director, wow, this is a Scrabble name, Deniz Gamzee-Ergüven.
Yeah.
Sorry if I butchered your name, because yeah. I probably just did. I apologize. When five girls are seen innocently playing with boys on a beach, their guardians confine them to the house where they are forced marriage, where their marriages are arranged by these guardians. And it's one of these films where I walked out of it and I go, that movie reminds me of something. And a buddy of mine's like, yeah, it's Sofia Coppola's The Virgin Suicides.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
I haven't, actually.
But that movie's from the like a male perspective.
Okay.
This isn't really from a perspective. It just happens. And I think it's brilliant. You liked it?
Oh, love this film.
Hell yes. Yeah. I had this weird feeling you weren't going to like it. I don't know why, because we always bring this up, but your little thing about Room.
That's right.
You're the guy who wears his heart on his sleeve, except for when you don't.
Except for when I walk out of Room like RoboCop.
Yeah. So the five girls' names are Lale, Noor, Selma, Eche, and Sone. Not Sony.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm really glad you like this one. Yeah, it's a really beautiful film.
It is.
I got to ask, did Adrian cry?
Oh, yes. I had a big, hard cry all by myself in the living room while wearing headphones. If you can picture that sad image. Man, it's... it's so effective because you're so invested in these characters and they're written so well. And the girls, they're such great actors. Like they really sell it. It's almost like you're watching a documentary at times.
These girls are locked in this house. And once they hit a certain age, they're going to get married. They're not going to have a choice in who they're getting married to. And they all hate the prospect of it, especially the little one, Lale.
Right.
Who quite possibly... was maybe the coolest character I saw in a film last year.
Oh, yeah. She's just a little ball of energy.
And she's, like, adventurous. She doesn't give up on anything. She's, like, full of spirit. And she's mischievous in a non-threatening way.
Oh, totally.
And if I ever have a daughter, this is, like, the kind of daughter I want. Like, so I was a little shithead when I was a kid. Because I just wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
And nobody was going to tell me I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I like that in a person. And
oh, yeah.
She is great.
Oh, totally.
Well, yeah, one of the best characters in the movie last year, for sure. Yeah,
she was my favorite character in the movie. But yeah, and we're not talking about girls who are, you know, graduated from high school and college age. They range from, like, what, like 8 years old to maybe 15 or something like that? Like they're 50, very 15 young.
15-year-olds getting married to some dude from the village they've never met before.
Yeah, and that's, like,
something
what they're raised to do.
Yeah, something that happens in different areas of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not here, obviously, but yeah. Not my thing, but I guess that's what happens there.
Yeah.
And hey, Lolly likes footy.
That's awesome.
She loves her footy.
I love that stuff.
And there's a scene in the movie where there's a really big footy match, and all the men get out of control and riot, and the next game is women's only. I love that scene.
That's awesome.
It's one of the great scenes. Just how, like, the solidarity of the women in the stadium is, like, the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And when they're trying to get there, another great story. Like, this film is just full of great little stories.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Little adventures. And there's, you know, of course, there's some forces going on in this film. Some things that are pulling them down, holding them back from finding their true happiness. And man, that stuff is just such a gut punch when those things happen. And yeah, as they lash out, as they act out, was that their grandmother they lived with?
Yeah.
She basically builds a prison out of their house. Slowly starts by, you know, locking the doors and stuff. And then they bar the windows and reinforce the fences. And it's crazy.
Yeah, let's just add 4 more feet to the fence.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's, man.
Yeah.
That's scary stuff.
There's a scene where, I'm trying not to be spoilerish here.
Mm-hmm.
My other favorite scene in the film is the house barricade. at the end. You know,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love that stuff.
Okay.
Which leads to, fuck it, probably my favorite shot of the film. I'm all over the place here, but I just thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite shot of the film is the final shot.
Okay.
Holy crap. I love me some final shots.
Yeah.
And this is a great final shot.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, goddamn, that's so good.
Yeah. What's happening to my face right now?
Yeah. You're not human if you don't cry at this film.
Oh, totally.
Like, I'm serious. Like, it's so touching and great.
Yeah, I think for the next Blade Runner, they need to show the replicants this film. And if they don't react, that person is not a human.
Pretty much.
Kill that robot. Probably my favorite scene in the movie was, and of course I'll try to be vague here. I'm hoping you'll pick it up. When two girls try to make the best out of their limitations and they take a basic activity that little girls take part in.
Yep.
And it's simultaneously heartbreaking and just so joyful, and it's so many things all at once. And I'm just like crying and smiling and, oh man, that's a hell of a scene.
Other than a pretty shocking scene of violence in the film, this should pretty much be required for women ages 75 to 7.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I think it's just, I think it's a perfect film pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And this killed me
to
not put it in my top 10 last year.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see that.
I had it at number 11.
Right.
But last year, those like top 10, those were really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
It's available everywhere.
Yeah.
You have no excuse.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. And yeah, every character in the movie means something too. There's no throwaway characters, no throwaway lines. It's just, it's razor tight. It's one hell of an experience, man. I was just like beside myself this morning as I was watching it. And so thankful I was by myself so I could just completely give into this film. And, you know, I wasn't at a movie theater. Like, I think you compared me to a seal with my crying at one point. So
I don't remember what movie that was for, but yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, man, love this film. If you haven't seen Mustang, you really need to see it. It's I think it's something that everybody can get a lot of joy out of.
So yeah, it was nominated for the best foreign film last year.
That's right.
Which is a segue.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. We're talking about the next movie club choice?
We are.
Uh-oh. I think I know what's coming.
No rules for movie club, baby.
No rules.
I just do whatever the hell I want.
That's right.
So, hey, how about we have the film that beat Mustang? I teased it last episode, and hey, Amazon finally shipped it.
Oh, nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best film of last year, according to me, Son of Saul.
Son of Saul.
Son of Saul.
All right.
Laszlo Nemes, debut film.
Crazy, man.
Maybe the best film I've seen in the last 10 years.
Oh, really? Damn.
It's
That's crazy.
Amazing.
Nice.
It's really brutal.
Yeah. You called it the definitive Holocaust movie.
Totally.
That's crazy.
Which sounds really gross.
It does.
I kind of apologize for that, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah.
Holy crap, this is a next level film.
Sweet, man.
And as I said, it's his first film.
Yeah.
But
wow, debut?
Yeah.
That's and awesome.
It's one of those holy shit films that you just, that come around every once in a while. And like when I saw it at a film festival, I saw it at the Vancouver International Film Festival last year, and I couldn't even get out of my seat.
Really?
I was just like, boom,
nice.
Done.
Oh, crazy.
And I have a film in 20 minutes.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's the worst.
Totally.
You, like, you your world just crumbles around you, and you have to go see another movie.
And you got to like try to concentrate on this film. You're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the goods, man.
Awesome, dude.
And I don't know. It's like we'll call it the movie club catch up for Adrian 2015.
Hey, all right.
Something like that. I don't know.
That's awesome. Cool. So if you want to join movie club, just watch Son of Saul. We dare you to watch Son of Saul. Sounds like it's a great film. Sounds like it's a bit of a heartbreaker, gut punch kind of movie. So yeah, if you watch Son of Saul, send us your comments by June 12th. We'll read your comments on the next episode. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one.
Sweet.
And yeah, just like with Mustang, since it's still a fairly new film, we won't really get into spoiler territory. But yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode.
That was really hard to do with Mustang because I just really wanted to blurt out a bunch of stuff and tell you how much I love this part and this part. And I'm just like trying to go like talk around it. I'm just like, oh, I wish we were doing spoilers.
Yeah. One thing I thought about doing once in a while is post like a spoiler episode that's very brief, but we talk about some stuff that maybe we couldn't talk because we're a spoiler-free podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road.
It does have its disadvantages sometimes.
It does. It does, for sure.
It is really hard not to talk spoilers.
It is.
Yeah.
It's tough. But hey.
Yeah.
Right on.
Son of Saul.
Son of Saul. Bring it on.
Love it, man.
Cool. So let's move into our next section of the show, the lightning round. This is just where we talk about other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode, give them the lightning round review treatment. So why don't you kick us off with this one?
This lightning round should be called Bill Took a Lot for the Team.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you bring your bulletproof vest?
Yeah, I should have. Adrian has these things that he doesn't like to watch.
That's right.
I'm like, you know what? For the podcast, I'm going to watch some really bad movies. And it started off with the Angry Birds movie.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I've said this before, but my favorite band of all time is Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
There's a Black Sabbath song during the opening credits of the Angry Birds movie.
Oh, no. No.
And all I'm thinking is, holy shit, does Ozzy really need another fucking boat? Like, it's 5 minutes into this film when the credits opened. I already hated this film.
Yeah.
It's pointless. How do you make a movie out of a game where you're slingshotting birds into pigs and buildings? You can't.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's bad.
It has no idea what it's doing. Yeah. It's one of the worst films, if not the worst film of the year.
Wow.
Brothers Grimsey is worse, I think.
Yeah.
Avoid this. Your kids will hate it. There's no way they can like it.
Really?
It's not likable.
Oh, man.
Piece
crazy.
Of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, Black Sabbath.
That's right.
That really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Next, Jason Bateman's second directorial debut film. No debut there, Bill. Yeah. The Family Fang.
Okay.
Bad Words. Pretty damn good film.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that film.
Yeah.
I thought he showed some decent chops in that film. He's acting in this one, too, with Nicole Kidman and Christopher Walken, about a really weird family that stages all these like weird events to film. Like, they'll go to a park and act like one of them is dying.
Okay.
And they'll film it to try to get people's reactions.
Okay.
And meet the Kidman and Bateman character are kids when this is happening, and it really screws them up. Because
Oh, nice.
This is just really weird shit.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman plays the quiet one in this film.
Okay.
Which is kind of a weird thing for him.
Yeah.
Usually he's like the super sarcastic, over-the-top guy.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman's the ball of fire in this one.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she's quite good, and so is Bateman. It's a decent film. It's not great. It's decent. It's available on VOD. I say rent it. It's not a bad film.
Cool.
The new Luca Guadagnino film, A Bigger Splash. Did you see I Am Love about 5, 6, 7 years ago?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's an Italian film with Tilda Swinton in it.
Okay.
Where she spoke Italian.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. That's a really good film. Has an absolute aces ending.
Sweet.
Yeah, one of the great endings in the last, 10 years.
Cool.
It raises the film a star.
Nice.
It's that good.
Oh, wow.
This one is his English language debut with Tilda Swinton, Matthias Schoenaerts, Ralph Fiennes, and Dakota Johnson about a singer who loses her voice, and she has to, not talk for a couple weeks.
Okay.
So she goes on vacation to Italy, and her record producer shows up with his long-lost daughter that he never knew about. Ralph Fiennes being, and Dakota Johnson being the people. And Ralph Fiennes maybe gives the best performance of the year.
Wow, really?
He is super in this film.
Nice.
He's just this over-the-top asshole music producer.
Nice.
Who just doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Nice.
Movie's good. It's not great. This is the big indie film right now. Everybody's talking about this one. It's good.
Fox Searchlight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's good. And the last, Bill Took One for the Team film.
Oh, man.
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, man. Tell us about this.
I like the first one.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to say that. Said it a lot. I think it's a decent film. It's everybody hated that one, and everybody hates this one. Well, guess what? I hated this one.
Oh, nice.
It's really nice to look at. Really nice to look at. It's impeccable. They spent a lot of money on it, and it shows. Johnny Depp really isn't in this film a lot, which makes it a little better than it probably should be.
Yep.
It's the Mia Wasikowska film.
Okay.
Where she's just doing stuff. Sacha Baron Cohen's really good in it, too.
Oh, really? Okay, that's good.
The story doesn't make sense. It's pretty stupid.
Right.
It's not really that watchable. 3D's terrible.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. go for the visuals if you for anything, but skip it.
Yeah,
didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm in the fold on these Alice movies now.
There you go.
Because I watched the first one.
Okay,
I think it's underrated.
Cool, underrated. I will pass on that. I will pass.
Underrated. And that's it for me.
Right on, dude. Well, I watched a few older films. Last weekend, I went to visit my brothers, and I was just like, okay, I got to take these guys to film school, dude. So I showed them Gojira, the original 1954 film, post-World War II, entire nation mourning nuclear holocaust film. That's just an absolute devastating gut punch. What's that doctor's name at the end? Serizawa, I think is his name, something like that. The guy with the eye patch. What an iconic character.
Yep.
And just, man, I was just like, so, well, I've seen it a few times now, and it still moves me, the whole ending, and just the emotions that went into that, and just, you know, Godzilla just laying waste to everybody, and they're going, this is what happened to us, you know? It's,
yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying, even in this day and age, like, as I'm watching it, I'm going, that happened. You know, people evaporated and
Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. And this was made like, what, like 10 years after the war ended or nine years? Just devastating stuff. So yeah, Gojira. Don't want to bring it down too much on the show. But if you haven't seen it, check it out. And my brothers loved it.
It's Criterion Blu-ray?
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Blu-ray.
Yeah, when everybody thinks of Godzilla, they think of Mothra.
That's
all,
right.
All the really stupid Man in Suit movies.
Yeah.
This is not a Man in Suit film.
No.
No, it's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Really good, really good. And of course, we all watched the recent trailer that was released for the Magnificent Seven remake. Or is it a remake?
It's a remake.
Remake. Because the original Magnificent Seven is a remake of Seven Samurai. So yeah, we watched the original Magnificent Seven. And that was the first time viewing for me and my brothers as well. We love that film.
It's badass.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah. It is great. And just like that young gunslinger, the German actor, I forgot his name, but he plays the young character in the film. I'm really bad with the names. We watched it pretty late. but he was just hilarious, and they all just have their own little things. And what a hell of an experience, man. That was just awesome. And I was just like, even though it's a bit of a longer film, I wanted to watch it again. Like, as soon as it finished, I was like, damn, I need to see that again, dude. So awesome film.
It's giving me a bit of an idea for Movie Club.
Oh, cool.
If you get where I'm going.
Right on, dude. Yeah, bring it on. So yeah, Magnificent Seven, that was outstanding. Love that film. And then, of course, after watching two holy shit movies, we wanted something light and fun, so we watched Chef, which is practically our theme movie here.
Yeah, we like to talk about Chef.
Yeah.
And as we should.
And there's never a bad time to watch it, man.
No.
It's so good. We have a blast with it. My brother's a chef, and you know, he can relate to a lot of the cooking stuff. And you know, it's a movie that's not really about cooking, though. It's whatever you want to take out of it. And
well,
it's a great story.
He goes to Franklin Barbecue.
That's right.
We went there. We did a pilgrimage to Franklin Barbecue a couple of years ago, yeah, and it was a freaking pilgrimage.
It was.
We took pictures and idolized that place.
Yeah.
And for him to go there and go in the back, and I'm just like, oh, dude, we were there.
Yeah.
I love Chef. It's a really damn good film.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing bad to say about it. For like 5 or 6 episodes in a row, that's all we talked about was Chef.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out.
And if you haven't listened to the commentary track's really good.
Oh, I didn't know it has one.
I think so, yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I had for lightning around. I've been playing video games and watching TV lately. Even though I cut cable, I watch a lot of TV.
Dude.
Netflix and
that free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Cool. So I guess we can tell our listeners, what do we have coming up on the next episode?
So on June 3rd, for all the ladies out there, Me Before You starring Khaleesi and Finnick from The Hunger Games.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Have you not seen this trailer?
I have. Yeah, it looks...
Did it just come into your head that you remember what it was?
Looks lame as shit, dude.
Dude, she looks so cute in that film. Her weird little outfits.
Yeah. Oh, no. I may have to see it.
Her dragons flying above.
That's right.
Ready to nuke him if he does a wrong move.
That's right. So weird.
I think it looks cute.
Oh,
I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I will see this one for the team.
Cool, man.
I think it looks kind of cute.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Right on.
Pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh, yes.
The Lonely Island movie.
Andy Samberg.
Yeah. It looks like it could be funny, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I think I
saw Adam Sandler's name in the credits, though, which freaked me out a little bit.
I didn't even know that Lonely Island was still together. Like,
that's right.
That was like 5 years ago when they were on a boat.
Yeah.
And they have a dick in a box.
Yeah. They're like the Angry Birds.
It's, pretty much.
Yeah. It's so yesterday, dude.
I'll still check it out.
Yeah. Cool.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yeah.
To quote Colleen Vince from the After the Credits podcast, hard pass.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
I will see this one.
Really?
I'll take it for the team.
Because you like Megan Fox.
I do. I send dumb tweets. I'll be like, I'll send her a message. I'll be like, hey, I can't respond to your DM. Can you follow me back? And I'm just being an idiot.
That is creepy as shit. This movie looks fucking terrible, dude.
My boy Sheamus is in it. He's a WWE superstar.
How could this get any worse?
There you go.
Yeah, I will not be seeing that one.
All right.
I'll be watching Me Before You when he's watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm being a man.
June 10th. Are you ready for some horror?
Oh, yeah. Bring
The Conjuring
on.
2.
Yeah, I liked the first one.
Oh, that was okay.
Yeah?
I think it was great.
Cool.
It had its moments. I think Vera Farmiga is really underrated.
She is, yeah.
Yeah. I'll see it.
Cool.
Yeah, there hasn't been a horror film in a while.
Yeah, maybe The Boy.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Which is also kind of underrated.
January film.
That's an underrated film.
It was. I really enjoyed that.
A lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And Now You See Me 2.
Yes!
I love the first one.
Me too,
I got a badge and everything. I'm not afraid to say it. I like this film.
We're the 3%, man.
Yeah, totally. Like, I remember this one getting kind of shit on too. And
it did.
I kind of like this one quite a bit. I have no idea why Isla Fisher isn't in the film anymore.
Yeah.
But Lizzie Kaplan is a very good substitute.
I think Isla Fisher hates money.
Must be.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this one.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the trailer like 2 months ago and like fist pumping in the air.
Totally.
I can't wait.
Daniel Radcliffe's in this one.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
So good. I already mentioned this, but 2 weeks later, Warcraft.
Yeah.
Trailer's terrible.
It's garbage.
This looks like a bunch of CG threw up on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bunch of people I recognize with orc teeth.
That's right.
Yeah. Paula Patton with big, giant orc teeth.
That's right.
This, what? Yeah. This looks really bad. Yeah. I'll still see it, but I think this might be the big money loser of the year.
Probably will be.
It looks like it could be, and it looks like it probably cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Even though I think Alice Through the Looking Glass cost like $200 million, and it made 25 its opening weekend. That might be the biggest loser of the year.
Yeah. Well, international box office is where it's at, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's all about China now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
That's why Transformers is set in China now.
Pretty much. Yeah. Lots of people in China. They like to go and see movies.
That's right.
And that is it.
All right.
It could be a very venomous show next time.
It could be. We could be spitting hot fire on the next episode.
But yeah, a couple of those look okay.
Yeah. Now You See Me too.
Yeah.
I hope they turn that into the like Fast and Furious franchise.
The first one made money.
It did.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that'd be like every 3 or 4 years we got another one of these. Hopefully this one's good.
It had Morgan Freeman being a condescending prick. It's like, how cool is that, man?
Didn't I see a trailer, like a little like EPK before a movie that's like Jesse Eisenberg talking about, we tried to use as much practical magic as we could. I'm like, motherfucker, you stopped rain.
That's right. That's practical, yo. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So funny.
Can't wait, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what you have to look forward to in the next episode. Guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
I am. I am at SoundJam69. Now way over 100 followers. Thank you for that.
All right, man.
I don't really care, but thanks.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Adrian's got like 28,000 or something like that.
Not even close.
He's just a popular mofo, man.
That's right. That's right.
he's got his football picks on there.
Got all my hot takes on there. Hot takes and hot cakes.
Nice.
I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account. We're at @TheGreen_Screen. You can find us on Facebook as well. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You can also run that search in Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and other podcast platforms, or you can subscribe to The Green Screen of Death. Hit a like and throw us a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience. And once again, we appreciate the people who check us out. It's still 2 years down the road, we're still blown away that anybody would listen to us talk about movies.
Yeah, I'm seriously shocked that we get more than 5 listeners.
Yeah, so we enjoy it. We love it.
Thanks, everybody.
And yeah, thanks very much for checking us out. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.